Blog Talk Radio.
This is Merle with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Oh, it's a gorgeous day here in New York City. It's 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday, and we're going to have a really good show because we got Broadway here. When it wasn't from the Dancing Queen, Mamma Mia, it's actually, this is Fiddler on the Roof, Michael Bernardi. The last name sounds familiar. It's because his father, Herschel Bernardi, had played Tevye, and now it's his son's turn to step in, and I guess in his boots. So, Michael, good morning.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for having me. This is a thrill.
Or should I say, Vus magst der?
Yes, thank you, thank you. That makes me feel more at home.
You got the boots on yet?
I sleep in the boots. I wake up in the boots. I sleep in the boots. The boots are everything. Be the boots is what I say.
So tell us how did this all start with you getting into Fiddler,
sheer madness. Just, I don't know. I still am trying to process how all of this happened. It's been an incredible journey, you know. I think I can, you know, I've been acting my whole life and performing in some way. I was a stand-up comic when I was a kid. I was, you know, doing musical theater in high school and all sorts of stuff, and went to school and SUNY Purchase, and then went to grad school at USC MFA over in Los Angeles, and you know, was film, you know, everything and anything I could just to call myself an actor, and nothing was really kind of getting me to the next step, or at least something that I could perceive, and something tangible. My mother was diagnosed with breast cancer about 2 years ago. She's doing fantastic. She's warrior, and oh yeah, she's probably healthier than, you know, all of us. She's incredible. But at that time, it was really scary when the first diagnosis came out, and I don't know. I got focused in a way. I remember having the thought. I had two thoughts. My first thought was, okay, I need to change my entire life in order to make sure that my mother is beats this, and I'm gonna just do everything in my power to help her with that. And my second thought was, oh boy, my mother is not immortal. One day, you know, as we all will, she will leave this earth, and I can't let her leave this earth without her giving her something to cavil about, you know. And so I really got to get on my game, and I got to really put myself out there instead of, you know, trying to perfect myself as an actor and as a performer. I got to really put myself out there. And as, you know, as unfinished, which, you know, being an actor or anything, you never feel ultimately finished. I felt like, okay, I just got to really just chase this. And And with that mindset, things started to kind of just fall into place a little easier. I ended up tracking down this theater that was doing Fiddler on the Roof out in Massachusetts. They were looking for Tevye. And I never thought that I'd be playing Tevye before I was, you know, in my 40s at least. I auditioned, and the producers, were happy with me. And we did this production out in Massachusetts, and it was, you know, a small production, but it got reviewed. This is a really long story. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
There was a nice some momentum that was built from that production, and it just so happened that the Broadway production was getting ready to go, and so I finagled an audition through my mother's hypnotist.
Did they have to hypnotize the director?
You know what? Maybe that's what happened. That's possible. Whatever works, you know. And so I ended up getting this audition for Broadway, no one was getting back to me. So I finally did like this crazy actor move that everyone tells you, don't do that. But I ended up just going to Bernard Chelsea's office with a whole packet of materials and dropping it off. A week later, they had me audition for the role of Morsha, which I'm playing on Broadway now. It's unbelievable. I'm staggered by it on a daily basis. And my mother is cavelling from ear to ear, and I couldn't be happier.
Just being in the show.
I was more than happy. I thought, you know, like, oh, just sit, don't even pay me. Just let me sit in the room. You know, I'll be anything, please. I just want to be, you know, around. And when I booked Morka, I was over the moon. I couldn't believe it. And then, then they said, oh, and you're understudying Tevye. And a chill wind, you know, the center of my being, like, what? No, that can't be right. I need a few more decades to cook. I'm not cook. This is Broadway. What are you, crazy? And so since that day, I've just been, you know, out of my mind preparing for that possible day. And you never know, you know, you know, someone's going to get sick or this or that. And so it's a beautiful, incredible experience. And I have a lot of support from the cast and, of course, my family and friends. And I've just been spending the past few months convincing myself that this is my life. It's pretty crazy.
Now, just so we can clear, when an understudy, this is like two things, right? An understudy and something else.
I play Morka the innkeeper, and then I understudy the role of Tevye and the rabbi as well.
Okay, so in other words, this is kind of if the performer can't perform, you're doing it, versus I'm taking a day off and it's your turn and giving you a Sunday afternoon to do it.
Well, I mean, it could happen, you know, all sorts of ways. Danny Burstein happens to be a machine. You know, he is a consummate professional. And you know, I mean, we've just gone through the Tony season, and so, you know, all of us were, you know, in full support of Danny performing as much as possible, and Danny is incredibly committed to the piece, and he wants to be on that stage as much as he can, and so and we're all supportive of that. Right now, you know, I don't have a lot of Broadway credits. You know, this is my Broadway debut.
Ah.
And so there's one other person that covers Devia. His name's Adam Grouper, and he is a brilliant, brilliant man. This is his 9th Broadway show. And so, when Danny does get sick, you know, Adam comes in, and Adam does a beautiful job as Tevye. And, I'm there just supporting, and if they call on me, I will tell the story and try not to freak out too much and make sure that no one, you know, gets bonked on the head or anything. Like, that's my objective. And hopefully I can honor the story that's been so entrenched in my being and my family's being for generations. It's crazy.
So let me also ask you, so people also understand in terms of the character, Mordechai, is that?
Yes, perfect
okay.
pronunciation.
Notice I can do the
exactly, Mordechai.
Yeah, I'm so tired of hearing people, you know, say, like, come on, you can do it. You can do it, you know. You could say, you could,
you
don't
lean
have,
into
no,
it.
You,
gotta, you can't
no,
be afraid of the
fact. It's not Chaim. It's not Chaim.
No. Ha. Lean
ha.
Into it. Exactly.
It's chutzpah, not chutzpah. Not chutzpah.
Right. Really clear your throat. Don't be afraid of the mucus. It's okay. We all have mucus. We all have a little phlegm.
Yeah. So
right there.
In the role, what are you singing?
What am I singing? I mean, Devia sings everything. He doesn't leave
no,
stage
in
for
the innkeeper.
Oh.
I mean.
Oh, the innkeeper. The innkeeper, I'm definitely, tradition to life. The rumor, let's see, the dream, those big cast numbers. And,
oh, okay. So we'll see you all the time.
But also, I have a wedding speech that I get up and, you know, I give this whole speech at the wedding at the end of the first act, and I love playing Mordechai. He is dancing a fool up there and has some pretty good one-liners, so very happy.
So and I want to get back to it, because when you just said one-liners, when you started to do stand-up comedy, like, what kind of things did you like focus on?
Being raised by women, you know, I was constantly raised by women, being afraid of ghosts. We moved around a lot and found that every time
like
we
any
moved
Jew.
To, what's that?
I said, like any Jew, you moved around a lot.
Exactly, yes, in the tradition of our ancestors. Moved around a lot in Los Angeles, and so, you know, there was each new place that we moved to was haunted, you know, and so depending on the neighborhood, you know, it was a different kind of ghost. And, you know, remember, this is back in the 90s, so this is, you know, it might not be so PC today, but, you know, like, you know, we moved to West Hollywood and there was a gay ghost. And so I'd wake up in the middle of the night, my entire room was redecorated. Or, you know, there was, or I went, you know, I moved to another town and there's, you know, a Jewish ghost. And, you know, like, then I would, and, you know, the Jewish ghost wasn't very agile, and, you know, I could just hear him say, oi, down the hall. Like, you know, I also didn't ask where I did an impression. I did an impression of my Uncle Jack, who, you know, who's at that time, like, 80 years old, and, you know, an old Jew, an Apothecker. So I took about 2 minutes out of my set to just I did an impression of this. I'd say this is an impression of my Uncle Jack sitting down, and I took 2 minutes to sit down, saying "oi" and "they" every 3 seconds. So it's funny. Comedy, baby, comedy, comedy tonight.
It's nothing like doing comedy, right?
Yeah, it's the best. It's instant. Instant. Yeah. Instant reaction. It's crazy.
Where are you? Where's your, who came here? Grandparents?
Yeah, yeah. My grandparents were actors. They were in the Yiddish theater in Eastern Europe and moved to Chicago and got married on stage at the Goodman Theater. And did the stories of Shalom Aleichem. I mean, they went up and then moved to Coney Island, and they would go on tour as like the Bernardi family.
Oh.
Or the Jewish Partridge family, and they would go and do, through the Berkshires and through Boston and all over the East Coast. And my father was raised in that environment.
So this is in your Jewish blood to do it.
It's kind of, I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, I guess it's strange because as much of that legacy is a part of, my history, a lot of that history was gone at the time my father passed away when I was 2, and then probably and he was the baby of the family. So most family members were gone by the time I was about 10. And so I feel like I've received so many stories, from the people that knew them. And they left such an incredible mark with people that knew them, but I've always felt kind of like I was getting it secondary, not from the horse's mouth, like just one step behind, but then also trying to find within myself, like, okay, well, why do I love bagels and lox so much? Why?
Yeah, right.
why aren't you? I don't know. Like, I found that, why do I have this predisposition to get in front of strangers and sing songs and tell jokes and tell stories? I found that being in Fiddler on the Roof, it's kind of been like this lightning rod for all these incredible stories, all these people that knew my family, that knew my father, that they're all kind of showing up, and they're all giving me all this information, saying, your father was like this, and your grandfather, he had this bit and this, and your uncle, oh, God, he had this one-liner, and blah, 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 and they were this, and they were that. And the thing is that every time I hear these stories, I realize that it's not new information. And that's the most beautiful thing, is that I go, I hear the stories and I go, yeah, that's exactly what I figured it would be like. That's the feeling that I have inside. That's the thing that I assumed. And they told me never to assume, but I assumed. and I was right. I was right. And so, yeah, I guess that feeling that I have is right, is something that was that I inherited, that maybe is genetic on some level, so that it's been really comforting and healing and affirming this whole experience.
Tell us about the boots.
The boots. So when I was going up to Massachusetts to play Kevin and Fiddler on the Roof, my mother, she takes out this box, and in the box has my father's costume from the 1981 revival, and his boots. And so she says, "What do you think? You think you want to wear the boots?" And I thought, well, I think it's gonna hurt. I don't want to hurt the boots. And she looked at me and she said, you know, your father always said that the greatest sin was to own a piano and never play it. So play the boots. And so I go, okay. And so I go and I put the boot on and it was too small, which, you know, created all sorts of Freudian consequences in my own head. And I, and so my mom said, take it to a cobbler, have him take it out for you. And I said, all right, you know what, let's do this, let's really do this. And so I take it to this random cobbler out in Los Angeles, and they take my measurements, I drop off the boots, and it takes a while. And like, I'm worried that the boots are going to be ripped apart. I'm like, oh God, I don't know what they're going to do. And like 5 weeks pass, and I finally go back and I take out the boots. I'm looking at the boots, and they're beautiful. They're absolutely perfect. And I'm tearing up. And the guy behind the counter says, oh, what's you don't like the boots? What's wrong? I go, no. It's this whole thing. I'm playing Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof. And my father, he played Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof on Broadway years ago. And he says, your father was in the original Fiddler on the Roof? And I said, no, he wasn't in the original, but he was in the original production, but he took over. No, my father, he did the original. I said, what do you mean your father did the original? Your father Zero Mostel? He said, no. He did the shoes.
Oh, look at that.
And I said, what? He says, yes, I inherited this business from him. And I look on the walls, and everywhere in Los Angeles is these, all walls are covered with headshots from actors.
Oh, yes.
TV actors, right?
Imagine. Yeah.
Right? Like everywhere. But this place, and so there was all these posters on the wall. I assumed that it was those, but I didn't really look at it. And I look at the walls, and it's actually all these Broadway shows. And I find out that this cobbler is like this West Coast, like, branch. And it's, I don't know, it's like this house out in L.A. that does all these Broadway shows. And he says, yeah, we're doing Kinky Boots right now that's on Broadway. And it was just one of those things where you go, okay,
yeah.
What is going on? What is happening? Who's watching this? What's going on? You know, am I on a TV? Am I getting pranked? Is Ashton Kutcher going to show up? Or, you know, Dom DeLuise? Like, what's going on here? It's just been a few things like that. And so now I have the boots. I wore them for the show in Massachusetts, which, you know, brought me great luck. And now I'm wearing them every night on Broadway.
That's such a great story.
It's crazy. Nothing makes sense.
Yeah. Well, it's in the cards for you to be doing it.
Yeah. But who knew the cards existed? You know, I mean, you have to, for a long time, you know, being an out of work actor in Los Angeles, you know, you start to give up on any sense of cards. You start feeling I felt so disenfranchised and felt disillusioned and felt, oh God, you know, my entire life I was kind of going towards this direction, and then all of a sudden, like, where am I and what am I doing? And, you know, nothing's happening, and you feel betrayed by the universe and the cosmos, and then all of a sudden things take a turn, and now everything is just aligns, and it's real strange. It's real strange. And I guess, in a way, it's the story of Fiddler and Tevye, you know? It's that, on the one hand and on the other hand. On one hand, nothing makes sense, and on the other hand, you know, there's the divine plan.
But on the other hand...
And on the other hand, there is no other hand. It's like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm confused. That's the truth.
But as long as you're having a good time...
I'm having a blast. If I don't think about it too much, I'm having a great time. It's amazing.
So you got a show tonight, I guess, huh?
You better believe it.
So what did you do? Now, of course, you picked this up. You're not living in on the West Coast now, are you?
No. No, are you great? That would be a commute.
Yeah.
Some people that,
you
some
took
people
a nice little
Jersey
place
in
the.
I would get
you
some real,
condo.
Real gold stars for that. No, I live in Manhattan. And here's another thing. I mean, I got a spot two blocks from the theater through basically I'm house sitting for a friend, and it was just one of these things where I was like, hey, I'm putting it out there. I got this Broadway show. Oh, life is amazing. Like, I'm looking for a place in New York, anyone? And this family friend goes, oh, that's amazing. You know, I'm going out of the country for a year. I need someone to house at my place. It's two blocks away from the theater. I'm like, okay, great. That's great. Thank you. Thank you very much. What's happening?
So you can't even redecorate, huh?
Not if my mother has anything to do with it.
is there a ghost in that place? Did you?
Let's see. Yeah, maybe some Broadway actor.
You know, I have a ghost in my house, and I have two
really?
Cats. Well,
oh my God.
The one thing,
cats
if you
ghosts.
Have cats, they know where it is.
They know, of course they do. That's why I don't trust a cat. I don't trust cats. Sorry,
you don't?
Sorry, all the cats. I don't. I'm a dog person. I love dogs.
Oh, okay.
I love animals that are going to give me unconditional love, you know, and just be so desperate for my love that look at me like a dog. You know, like that's great. That's a pet. But a cat, like, they're beautiful. They're wonderful, but. You know, they're so independent. I need a nice codependent pet to make me happy.
I used to think they were desperate for my love until I realized, no, it's food.
isn't that how it always is?
Okay, they're over here. They're nudging me right now. They're being so wonderfully, you know, affectionate.
So,
and I'm going, oh, right, I didn't feed them yet. Yeah.
You know what? You know what I've been really getting on is, Instagram. They have these videos that there's this account where they show toy pigs, these miniature pigs. They are the cutest things I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh,
they're just tiny, and they eat ice cream, and they're incredibly smart, and they snort, and they're just. I want one so badly. I want a little pig. I think that's going to be my next pet, my next codependent pet, the little pig.
I just adopted from afar, though. I just adopted an alpaca.
An alpaca? Really?
Yes.
Where do you live in the city? Where do you keep
no,
an alpaca
I, yeah,
in the
I
city?
No, I do, but I don't get to have it, though. I can go to the farm to see it, but I don't get to have it at my house, unfortunately, because I don't know if you've ever gone up and pet an alpaca or gone up to an alpaca, but
I haven't. No, that's
oh my god,
yeah.
They are
I'm putting
it
on the
not
list.
All of them. I mean, it depends on their personality, but
sure.
I have like on my Facebook page, I have a photo of me with an alpaca, and it looks like we're just about to kiss on the lips.
Well, you know what? My father, he had a ranch out in California. And he raised llamas like he was like Moses or something. Like he had this time in his life where he just like he left the business. I think it was during the blacklist, which my father was blacklisted in. So. He left the business and got this ranch and raised llamas and there's stories of how, you know, affectionate and you know, he loved his llamas. He was like Saint Francis of Coney Island or something. It was very
it's
very, very, yeah. Nothing like the relationship between master and alpaca llama. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. It's early.
By the way, my background is in show business as a comedian. So.
Oh,
I,
really?
Yes.
Fantastic. I mean, you know, I just should have known. You're hilarious.
And yes, it's interesting because, and what happens, I mean, this is like years ago. And
yeah.
So what, but what happens is, like, you know, my brain still reverts to it all the time.
Of course. Yeah. Of course, it's the food, right? It's like the you know, once you feel that feeling of getting that kind of response, that kind of love, that kind of, that instantaneous, you know, bursts of laughter, like, your brain gets hardwired for it, and you just want, it's like you're a cat, wanting food, like, it's just, doing that as a kid, oh my God, I find myself doing that, trying to get someone to laugh, someone to crack up, like, despite all my best efforts to be a reasonable, rational human being, you know, like, it's just, I need the laugh. I mean, please, you know, like me, you know, it's I talk to my therapist a lot about it. It's, but you know what, the best thing about being a comedian, I think, is that it's not about, and what I've learned is it's not so much, the greatest thing that it taught me is not really about how to get a laugh or how to make people laugh, but just how to laugh in general, and the intricacies of why something's funny, you know, the many levels, and it's beautiful. And so I can hear it in your voice.
I just had this flash in my head because as we're talking about, you know, with the llama and stuff, I don't know what it went to. It just went to thinking a commercial, a laxative commercial, and they sang, "Let my people go."
Moses endorses X-Lax. That's perfect. Moses should definitely be the spokesperson for X-Lax. First of all, you're already getting a big demographic, which is old Jews. Old Jews are very concerned with, you know, with their digestive
perfect for the
process.
Holidays.
I'm very concerned with my digestive process. You know, it's you're getting that demographic. It's everything. Let my people go.
Yeah,
and the pharaoh
matzah.
What is the
the matzah, especially during Passover with the matzah.
Oh, the matzah, yes. It's unbelievable. Yeah, of course. It's unbelievably hard to digest. And God knows what's in gefilte fish. What would the pharaoh be? The pharaoh is a colon? Is that a colon with a hat? That would be funny. That would be funny. If I saw that on TV, I would laugh.
Now I have to write it.
We'll pitch it together.
What's happened is that I have two sponsors, and each of the sponsors, I said, "Listen, send me a commercial. I'll do it on my radio show." And the first one did, and I went, you know, this is really boring. Never mind, I'll write it. I wound up, I have two that I wrote because I didn't want it to be boring.
That's fantastic.
One of which I have two cows talking to each other.
You're a natural.
It's so much fun.
Of course it is. I love perfecting commercials. No, I think if I wasn't an actor, I think that there's something about advertising. I love the idea of, like, just picking out that, just those right words, you know, that right word, that right little saying, and, you know, subliminally hypnotizing people to buy things. I love that idea.
So then you're not busy. We'll get together and we'll... Yeah, I got it.
Exactly. We have a whole practice.
I have to tell you something you'll appreciate.
Perfect.
I went several years ago. This guy books me. He books me in Atlantic City someplace.
Sure.
And I thought to myself, oh, well, that's good, because Atlantic City, I could be a little blue, and it's not that I have, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So I arrived there, and I'm about to rehearse with the piano player, and I see 10 guys outside the room davening. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. I said, where the heck did he book me? So I'm trying to do, you know, I said, all right, well, I'll, you know, not do too bad. But the thing that, one of the things that always gets me is the curses, the Jewish curses.
Who came up with them?
Who comes up
by
saying?
In Fiddler, I get, my character gets to say the curses. My first line is, may the Tsar have his own personal plague. And then my next line is, may the authorities start itching in places that they cannot reach.
You're right.
Amazing. Fantastic.
But the things like gay cock and off and yum. It's like, how did somebody come up with that as a curse?
Oh, I have a whole book of Yiddish insults. Oh, where is it? If you can't say anything nice, say it in Yiddish.
Yeah.
I can't believe.
So,
right,
but I'm trying to describe this. Some saying, you know, with gay cock and off and yam.
People ask for, he shouldn't have, and what he does have shouldn't be requested.
Yes, right.
He should grow a wooden tongue.
Yes. So here I'm saying, you know, like, who would say, go shit in the ocean? You know, so I'm trying to go through this, to say these things. And all of a sudden, in the back of the room, this man stands up and he says, if you say one more dirty ride, they're getting up and leaving. And in the front, this woman is going, oh, big deal, it's a dirty ride, so bad. And I'm thinking, am I really here?
It's
fun being Jewish sometimes.
It's a blast. Are you kidding? Here, I'm actually looking through this book. Let's see.
Whose permission do I need to get to meet you backstage after the show? I'm coming there. Week from Tuesday, I think. Yeah.
My girlfriend. You have to call her. Set up an appointment. No, just give me a call. Send me a text. It's very easy.
Okay. I'll tell them you said so.
Yes, exactly. Good. Oh, my God. Where are the good ones? I'm so sorry. Let's see.
My favorite is is the potato thing.
The potato thing? What's the potato thing?
Those vaccines that subble a cup and drag fisaros.
What does that mean?
Oh, you don't know that one?
I don't know Yiddish.
Oh, you have to know the curses, though.
I don't care, but
you know the Yiddish.
Oh, God, I wish I knew Yiddish.
The one that says you should grow like an onion, your head and shit, your feet in the air.
Oh, that's good. Let's see. your stomach will rumble so badly, you'll think it was a Purim noisemaker. Something like that. Let's see. Oh, God. May you be consumed by syphilis and may your nose drop off. Amazing. Let's see. Go bother the bed bugs. You're pissing in the wind. Gotcha.
You get these things from the Joys of Yiddish. There were two books out.
Yeah.
The Joys of Yiddish and one called something with Yinglish.
Yinglish?
Yeah.
It's had an incredible effect on the English language. It's, you know, because it was, because, you know, Jews were so prevalent, and probably because of Fiddler, you know. It became hip. But yeah, it's so sad that, you know, our ancestors basically, they didn't speak Yiddish in front of the kids because they wanted to have, like, their secret language.
Yes,
and,
that's what my parents did, too.
Right, and now no one knows it.
Yeah.
I hope to see
right,
you on
solution.
One leg. And may you, this is good.
I don't want
to
keep you on forever.
I hope to see you on one leg, and may you see me with one eye. Oh, wait. We exchange Jewish jokes backstage, of course, you know. And
oh,
Adam, Mitch, we have like this little altar cocker's corner, and I'm an honorary member. They told a joke the other day. And he said, two Jews meet up in a park. One Jew turns to the other one and says, how are you doing? And the other Jew says, in a word, good. In two words, not good.
Of course.
I love that.
I got a day. I was at this thing one time, and they were trying, for whatever reason, they wanted to teach. It was a group of Jews. It's separating from different groups that were there. And I go into the Jewish tent, and these women are talking about they want to teach Mahjong because they need to pass it down. And I'm thinking to myself, pass down Mahjong? I mean, who even came up with the fact that it was a Jewish game is hysterical in itself, you know what I mean? So I go, I said, well, I know how to play Mahjong. And they go, oh, you do? And so they set it up for me to teach Mahjong. I'm going, you know. So I'm going there, and I go, and I give them the basic. We talk about it. Mm-hmm. I give them the basic thing. And they said to me, I swear this, they said to me, so how come the game takes so long? I said, because while it's going on, they're sitting there going, run, bam. Ugh, my side is killing me. It must be my bra, and I'm
you have
doing
psoriasis.
This whole thing.
I have
they're
psoriasis.
Not laughing. They don't think it's. I'm thinking, oh, God, I got to leave this tent. This Jew's without a sense of humor. What are you kidding?
Oh, you sound like a long lost family member. Oh my God.
All right. I'm going to feed my cats. Look at a picture of my alpaca.
Yeah, sounds nice.
And by the way, and I also have rubber chickens.
You have what?
Rubber chickens.
I keep rubber
chickens.
Rubber
who have their own blog.
Fantastic. Of course. What is, what's a comedian without a stock of rubber chickens?
Of course.
All right. Here. And this is part of our Moses Ex-Lax campaign. Okay.
Yes.
This is a curse for that campaign. Okay. I just saw it. All right. May you run to the toilet every 3 minutes or every 3 months.
Co-written by Michael.
Wonderful.
So have a great break a leg tonight. Not
Thank
the boot.
Darling. Thank you. Thank you.
And I'll see you the week from Tuesday.
Come to the show. Say hi. We'll get a nosh. Tell some more curses. We'll curse some people on the street. It'd be nice.
Okay.
A real joy. This has been a real joy. Oh my God.
For me too. It's waking me up.
I know, right? Me too. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
All right. So, Fiddler on the Roof, everybody. What's the theater, by the way?
The Broadway Theater. The Broadway Theater. Whenever I tell people, you know, what I'm doing, they say, you know, and they say, oh, my God. I say, I'm in this Broadway show. And they go, really? Where is it? I'm like, oh, it's the Broadway Theater. And they go, oh, really? The Broadway Theater? Where is that? And I say, it's on Broadway. And then they look at me and they're like, you're a liar. You're just a big liar. You're just making this up. And you're not doing very well. You don't know anything about Broadway but the word Broadway, and you keep repeating it, and that makes you a very poor liar.
Okay, tears are going down my eyes now.
Beautiful. Good. This is if I know that I made someone cry before 11 o'clock, I've done well. I'm good for myself.
All right. Hi, Michael.
All right, Mo. All right.
I'll see you then.
Have a good day to you. See
yes,
you,
you too. Thanks for calling in.
Of course. Of course. And yes, thank you. Thank you. I don't know how to end this conversation.
You know what?
What?
This is really gonna make my day, I gotta tell you.
Yeah. Good.
Now great. I gotta go Facebook this thing.
Yeah, right. Perfect. Good. Let the people know. Let the people know about our new campaign for X-Lit.
Let my people know.
Let your people know and let them go to the bathroom. May you run to the toilet every 3 minutes or every 3 months.
Yeah.
Done.
Okay. Take care.
Take care. See you, Merle. You're a pleasure.
Okay.
Mwah.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, I certainly had a great laugh. And so now I'm going to end the show, which actually I think ended anyway. Everybody have a great day, evening, or whatever, and be sure to see Fiddler on the Roof.